CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.
Yes. yes. Good morning, everybody. What's happening? Here we are. Things are going crazy. First thing on a Tuesday morning, I saw two people. This is always interesting to me. I didn't see two people. I saw two cars on the side of the road. Like they were just sitting there. There was no one in them.
Oh.
I do not understand this. It drives me crazy because who's sitting? I mean, who just abandons their cars? Like, to me, my car is an expensive thing for me. And to those people who have left their cars, unless they're billionaires, who leaves a car just on the side of the road?
Well, what if the car has stopped moving and they've thought, well, I need to, I don't know, do something about it?
Are they going to collect the car at a later stage? Because you see, you know what I mean? Like these abandoned cars. I'm not talking about burnt out, you know, it's a wreck. I'm just saying a perfectly good looking car, like a BMW 5 Series. That's what I saw this morning. Now, who's going to just leave that on the side of the road? What are you, so rich that you have three more at home? Ah, you know what? This one's just broken down. I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to leave it here. I couldn't be bothered. This is too much work. Even me, and I'm very careless about these things. Like when I have car trouble, I just like, okay, Uber. But I don't leave my car on the side of the highway. Who does that? Lucas tells me this morning he took his car in for one of those diagnostic tests. So that's an old car. Just come in here and explain what they do. Yeah, hook it up to this machine.
Ooh.
It's like a human who goes into a... So what do? They hook it up to a machine and then they give you a diagnostic report, right? On the engine and everything.
Yes, yes. And overall they said, and then this machine prints something out. It says it will tell you what is good. It will tell you everything. So they will also check the batteries and everything. It tells you good. Alternator is good. Everything is good. And then after that, they will check, they will lift your car up and check it under.
Right.
If it's leaking.
They check the undercarriage, which they also have to do in humans. That's where you get that's where the doctor checks in your undercarriage what's going on, right?
Yeah, it is vital.
Yeah, but like I felt very good to know that my car is in good condition, you know.
Well, I'm very impressed because it's not a new car.
No, it's not.
And you were worried, you know.
Yeah,
you took it in and you thought, oh my God, they're going to tell me my car has cancer.
Yeah, you know, when you approach your car every morning and you're like, please start, please start.
Yeah, yeah.
so like I'm out of that now. Like, I was like, so
my first car was a City Golf. And by the way, I see they're relaunching those.
Really?
City Golf?
Yeah, you know the red, yellow, blue?
Yeah.
They're doing that. Clearly VW out of ideas. Borrowing ideas from the 80s. But my City Golf, whose name was Dexter.
Oh, gosh.
Lasted me. And by the way, I think it's very, very unfair that my sister never had to pay for her car because she was 9 years younger than me. Both my brother and I, we had to pay our cars off. And it's not like my dad said, I'll handle your fuel or anything. He was like, you want a car? I was like, I don't have a job. He's like, you're going to pay me back for this car.
Yeah.
What did you call it, Dexter?
And you are. I can't remember. I think that the number plate started with.
You want to know what is mine?
Hmm?
Midnight Mystery.
Which your car's black, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah.
It's an appropriate
That's nice.
Name.
But I like that you name your car as well. See, then it has a personality.
Yep.
And I used to walk up to Dexter often and think, please start. Because Dexter had
this. Yes, you did.
Dexter had this immobilizer.
Oh, the immobilizer.
You remember those things?
Shimmy.
And you'd have to plug it in and then. Sometimes a light would go off, sometimes it would go on, sometimes Dexter wouldn't start. I mean, Dexter was eventually, the roof started to peel, it just looked like a disaster.
But you know, I didn't know that this is something that you can do because Lucas was telling me the other day that you can actually go in or you can take your car in for people to test whether it's been serviced properly. Because, you know, sometimes you take your car in for its service and you take it for granted that they do all the things that they tell you that they've done. And then it turns out that they didn't.
Yes.
So you can take your car in after that and have it thoroughly checked to see if they were lying or telling you the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Well, I'm glad that your car's in good working order, but you wouldn't leave it on the side of the road.
Not at all. Not a chance. Me, that mystery, like, I'll be so worried. Like,
you would cry.
Yeah, I'll cry. Like,
have you ever seen a car that you've sold?
I'll never sell it.
No, but if you ever sold a car and then you see someone else driving it, like it happened to my mom once. She saw one of her old cars that we'd sold 3 years before, and someone else was driving. And she was like, "Oh my God, there goes our car with someone else." She was like hurt. She was all worried for the car's safety. It's almost like your kid gets adopted by another family.
Same. That's why I'll just give it to someone in the family.
Yeah.
So that I can always borrow it.
Midnight Mystery is going to last forever. You know that.
Yeah, I know. Hey.
But also the thing about those old cars is you actually can replace parts and they will keep going. Modern cars, you can't do that.
They're quite simplistic in how they're made. So.
Yeah, it's very affordable. Like,
works.
I didn't know one thing that kept making the car to break down was some spark plugs.
Oh, really? So
yeah,
you just replaced those and it was good to go?
Yeah, and I just went to replace alternator. And I just said to them, no, anything old in front there, just replace it. It's fine. Even if I'm left with nothing, just replace everything old in front there. And they replace most of the stuff.
Wow. I'm very pleased your car's still in great working order.
See? So, see ya. When are you going for that long trip?
No, I don't.
Your car's like brand new, though. I mean, you only got it last year.
Well,
right?
I just heard like spark plugs and alternator, and I have no idea
just
what is going
out.
On.
Like,
nope.
What's your car's name, sir?
Blue Ivy.
Oh, now at exactly what point was
this
car named?
Well, just as I got it, and it's like, well, you know, she's like blue and tiny. Mm. And I was like, of course, and I play a lot of Beyonce in it, so it's only fitting.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
I don't know. Midnight Mystery sounds like an episode of, like, what's it called? Knight Rider.
Or The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, just something.
Yeah, just imagine Lucas starts the car and then, like, this smooth jazz music comes out. Midnight Mystery.
So I talk to my car. Midnight Mystery, I'll tell it, like, whenever we had problem on the road, like, Midnight Mystery, take me home. Yeah. And the car will make sure that I get home.
That's special.
You know.
That's a friend. That's not a car, that's a friend.
Always.
I can just imagine it's Midnight Mystery and in the back there's like bunnies with red eyes.
You're a very interesting man. Very interesting man. All right, thank you, Lucas. These cars that just get left on the side of the road, I would like to know what the owners of those cars think is going to happen. And also, to leave it on the side of the road in this country, you're trusting a lot.
But what if you've just stolen this car and you're having second thoughts about crime, so therefore you leave it?
Oh, now we're talking. You see, that I didn't expect.
Yeah, like you got to look at it from that perspective, okay? So you've stolen it. Now you don't need the car because you're trying to actually get away because, I don't know, guilty conscience sets in, deal's gone bad or something. People leave stolen cars.
Yes.
So if you're seeing lots of cars left, maybe it's just theft.
Maybe it's just theft. That's a good point, Ben.
Like, can you imagine if you just got out and stolen the car and go, oh, I'm going to explain this to the wife. I've done it again. I stole this. I didn't mean to, and I've stolen
this
car.
How did this happen?
I'm just going to leave it here. And get a cab.
Or you've stolen it, and then, you know, the guy that you're supposed to take it to afterwards says, no, I wanted the 5 Series, not this rubbish. And you're like, okay, fine. Leave it on the side of the road.
Do you want to hear my shopping list for today? Because I thought this might make you laugh.
Uh-oh.
An actual
I've got a shopping
list.
Listen to this. You know, and I'm not the most domesticated of people. So here's my shopping list that I have to get done sometime this week. It's kind of important. I've got to get long life milk, butter, food. Just put food.
What?
Like, well, as in some kind of sustenance.
Yeah. Okay.
Drain cleaner.
Okay.
No. Deodorant, chlorine for the pool. Toothpicks and a toothbrush. How's that for interesting as a shopping list? Don't tell me you've got a more interesting shopping list than that. There's a combination of chemicals and all kinds of other things in there.
Huh? Gareth, I'm willing to bet all shopping lists are kind of the same.
You think that's fairly normal?
Without the just food laid out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's how my brain works. I'm letting you into my world.
That's really open-ended. That could be a jar of pickles or it could be pasta.
Well, I mean, what do you buy every week? You know?
Fruit
and vegetables.
Yeah.
Well, vegetables are too much of a commitment because you actually have to learn how to cook them.
Sia. Let's not go down the food trap with Sia.
I do muesli. That is like my current phase because it's so easy. Muesli and yogurt.
So that's all you eat?
That's what I brought for breakfast this morning.
Yeah, see, it's always the same thing. And then every week, my only difference to you guys is I buy cat food. But I make a game of it, right? Because the price is always fluctuating.
Okay.
So I buy it every time I shop. So there's like, it's between 5 Rand and 7 Rand 50. It just depends.
Is that how much cat food
it is
costs?
The most volatile market in the world is cat
really?
Sachets.
Really? It goes up and down that much?
Yeah. And then out of nowhere, you'll get a 4 Rand 50 deal. So you buy more.
Huh.
And you feel like you're winning in life.
Oh.
It's a very interesting 20 minutes of my life. I do understand.
One of my friends that I'd gone shopping with, and she was looking for dog food for her two dogs, but they buy like pedigree stuff or whatever. And she was telling me that it cost them 2,000 Rand, but the stuff will last them like 4 to 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
I was horrified. 2,000 Rand for dog food. No, they buy like special A-grade
stuff. That dry stuff's expensive. Like, it's really expensive, but it's all expensive. Like, Meows is a small cat, and she cost me, well, if you do the math, about 15 Rand, 15 to 20 Rand
well,
a day.
Well, these animals are freeloaders because back in the old days when they were wild, they would have to fend for themselves and get their own food.
Yeah.
You know.
My cat's so spoiled. She just plays with mice. Doesn't she eat them?
Yeah. Right.
Your DNA is screwed right now. Look at you.
Freeloaders.
They are freeloaders. All right. Let me see. I've got some things I want us to get to before we run out of time. You know, what happens is that we start the show. We've got so much on our minds. We've got so much we want to talk about. And then by the time we get to – and by the way, 8 o'clock today, just a bit before 8 because it's longer than an hour, talk to Gad Saad from the University of Montreal. What an interesting guy. We talked about – it's a pre-record I actually did from home. We talked about everything, politics to the reasons that men and women exchange gifts, to risk-taking, to biological differences between the sexes and how that can't be explained away by social-constructed postmodernist nonsense, you know, where gender is just completely fluid. He's a very interesting man, very smart, by the way, and one of the cleverest people I've spoken to. You know, when you really have to know your stuff, because you get the impression that if you don't know your stuff, he's going to tear you a new one. So that's how smart he was. All right, so here's what I wanted to play for you. The Super Bowl was a couple of weeks ago, but I found these clips because what happens is that a lot of people are in the internet for attention-seeking purposes, right?
87% of our survey, yeah.
Right. And some of them, I don't know whether these are real fans or not, and I could care less, but they obviously want to be noticed. They want to be taken notice of. They want the rest of us to go, oh, wow, that's amazing. So this is how they react to the Super Bowl. And I wonder if South African fans, how many South African fans do the same thing, whether it's because they're Pirates or Chiefs or Springbok or Blow Buller or any other kind of supporters in this country, because we've got different kinds of lunatics. And they're showing off what fans they are because they think it's going to get them points with other people who like a sport. Ben, you must see a lot of these people.
Sure.
Yeah. And now they can post their own stupid stuff to YouTube. Listen to these people. Tell me if this is the way – I mean, I wouldn't react this way if I cured cancer. Now, to me, I mean, there has never been a television moment that I've responded to like this. I can't think of a show or a news story or anything else that would ever make me jump up and down in front of the TV like this lunatic just did. I don't get it. I'm not the same as people who are fanatical about this kind of thing. Listen to this guy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Now, to me, that sounds like prison rape. That does not sound like something you should be excited about seeing your favorite team do on television. Am I crazy?
No, it's just that you don't care about this, so therefore it doesn't appeal to
you.
But even in the context of caring for something, they, like,
why record yourself?
When do you ever act like that?
Why record yourself and put this out there? I mean, it just seems to me like a very irrational way to behave.
Okay, let's backtrack a bit. These people are mostly unattractive, right?
Sure, of course they're hideous.
They haven't got much in their life as far as love interests or the ability to go and, I don't know, conquests of some sort, right?
Yeah, yeah, they've pretty got much, no excitement.
I'm going to hazard a guess to say their job is quite menial, basic, and doesn't offer a lot of prospects, right?
This is their moment to shine, is what you're saying.
So what you got to understand, Gareth, your life is very different to theirs, and you are the 1% of the 1% who doesn't need exterior stimulation like this. These people, all they have is sport. That's why sport is what it is. I keep trying to tell you this, and you keep it's ignoring it. So that's it. That's like Christmas, an orgasm, their birthday, and New Year's rolled into one when someone catches a ball in a certain area of the field.
Okay, I
and
see.
And that's exactly why they react like that.
I knew you would be able to help me with this.
Is it the same as, I don't know, people who faint at concerts because their star is performing? Because that's something that I've never understood.
Do you remember when the Beatles came out and you could barely hear any of their live performances?
Of course we don't remember when the Beatles came out. None of us were alive. What do you mean?
You've seen videos, right? And there's a woman there and they literally, I mean, like they're soiling themselves. Yeah. They just have no control of who they are.
It's
because
bizarre.
That in that moment.
And teenage girls at Bieber concerts.
It is the greatest thing. They can't even comprehend how completely taken they are by something because their lives are quite basic, like most people.
I mean, people would break down into tears and have to be carried off on stretchers at a Michael Jackson concert, for example.
They've lost the ability to breathe by themselves. That is how big a moment these people is.
All right.
I'm not trying to like make it an us and them situation, but I really am not understanding because, okay, for a musician, and this comes from the odd guy who cried when Michael Jackson died.
I cried too.
You know, granted, I was 13. So, you know,
I wasn't 13. Yeah, so I'm even more embarrassed. Exactly. Okay?
But it was because I think of the connection you feel with the artist when you listen to the songs and the songs mean something to you or you went through a traumatic experience and the song was there for you. What does John Smith carrying a ball, how did that affect your life? You see, like
John Smith.
He is a rugby player, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Thank you.
From about 20 years ago.
Okay. Got my reference right. You know, like
Ben explain. He explained it to me just now. I got
because
it.
It's
there was a moment of like, aha.
It's all about greatness, right? It's all about greatness. So why do you love Oprah?
Well, you see, that's also a different example simply because
it's never a simple answer, is it?
No.
For example,
just answer his question. Why do you love her?
Because of the conversations she's had and the advice that I've learned and the lessons that I've learned from her. I can't say that Skalkberger did the same for Fricky, you know, at Loftus.
Why not?
What did Skalkberger teach Fricky?
To blick some oaks and look fucking cool doing it.
Okay.
This is the problem with you, Sia. You believe life is about conversations, enlightenment. Yeah. It's not for some
An
people.
Aha moment.
For some people, it's about blick something and looking fucking tits.
Yeah. Okay.
You see,
I think it's really mean, actually. It is. You are such
it's
a supremacist.
Condescending, yeah.
It's so condescending to think that life is actually more than that.
But this is how people end up as role models, right? Sports stars, musicians.
Okay.
This is how people end up as role models. It's because different people take different things from these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, for them, it's a personal thing. For you, Oprah, that relationship with you and her is very personal.
By the way, it's not about the game.
Do you want to hear Oprah? Do you want to hear Oprah during the Super Bowl? Listen to Oprah.
No. Listen to Oprah. This is her going crazy during the Super Bowl. Who knew she was such a fan?
Me and Betty. 31 unanswered points. It ain't over till the fat lady sing and the bitch passed out. She couldn't sing shit, nigga. Night, night, nigga. So what's up to all the Cowboy fans, Falcon fans, nigga Steeler fans, nigga Niner fans, nigga Raider fans, nigga whoever, nigga. Whoever the fuck y'all team is, nigga. If it ain't the Patriots, nigga, it ain't shit.
Right.
Chase them bags.
You go, Oprah.
Folks, and whatever the fuck else you need to do, nigga, it's Patriot Nation. Win, lose, or draw. Belichick and Brady from the motherfucking Bay. Put me on all the motherfucking social medias, nigga. About my motherfucking Patriots. About my Patriots, nigga.
And then, of course, Stedman walked in and gave her the drugs, and then she was much more calm from that point on.
See, but that we all can collectively admit that that's not healthy, right? Or is anyone going to justify that?
You know
that?
What? I mean, Ben makes some very good points. You see, this is why I like to discuss this thing, this kind of thing with Ben and my buddy and you.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different opinions that fly around the room, and one of them is bound to make me think, okay, now I get it. So he explained this pretty well to me.
Like, when you get into someone's face, like, oh, night, night, yo.
Yeah.
That's right. How it is.
What the fuck are you
Beyonce
saying?
Show? No.
I'm sorry. What was that, ma'am? What did you say?
What the fuck are you saying?
Okay.
Like, yeah. Mabalu, would you fight with someone over common like this?
Yes.
Another
would.
Woman, I would, yes.
She would.
And she better not have her hands on him, because then it's going down.
She'll take him.
But you see fans, take each other on and genuinely fight each other because they're rivals. You see it, you know, with like Manchester United fans versus, you know, Liverpool, Arsenal.
They will
see it all the time.
They'll get so close to sometimes people get killed over a sports team.
yes, that is.
So now that's a whole new level.
But there's also the sense of belonging, right? Because people instinctively always want to be part of a tribe, an army, a force, a team, whatever.
Right.
And all they've got left now is Man United. Or Millwall.
Yes. Millwall. I mean, imagine dying for Millwall.
Which people have. Because there's nothing else, really. And they want that sense of belonging.
Yeah.
Because some people just crave that hierarchy system and they need to be in a place. Because if they had to do their own thing, jeepers, their minds would explode.
Well, I mean, look at what happened a few days ago. Was it that Orlando Pirates game or was it Mamelodi
Sundowns?
Where the fans, I mean, the fans completely took to the field and just lost their minds and destroyed stuff.
Crazy.
Don't pretend you weren't there in that crowd.
I wasn't.
I said to my buddy this morning, do you have your laptop charger with you?
And I said, yes.
So she goes, yes. So I go, oh, thank goodness. She goes,
No. You said,
I knew, or
something like, you're so organized, is what you said.
Meanwhile, I mean, she just, she goes, oh, fuck off. You don't believe that. I'm like, yeah, of course I don't believe that. I know what you're like. How's that inbox of yours coming along?
We are cleaning it up slowly.
What are we at 50% cleaned up? Are we at 20% cleaned up? I'm just curious.
We've probably got about 25% more to go.
Okay, that's very good. How are you feeling about that? Isn't it nice?
Yes, it does feel. I feel lighter.
I had 4 emails left in my inbox last night, and it was 11:30, and I thought, you've got to go to sleep now. This is not a good, this is not healthy. I'm starting to realize what kinds of things I must stop doing. And it's okay to have 4 emails in your inbox. You know, that's better than some people who have 320 or 11,900.
In my buddy's case.
Oh, I know people who are way worse than her. I love to be organized, but I can't pretend I'm all the way there.
Oh, yeah.
I've just got to. Got to chill. We've all got to chill. Don't let the 4 emails in your inbox drive you to drink.
Don't worry, Gareth. It's just you.
Don't let those 4 emails get you down.
Nah, you are right.
People are so sick.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Tan Mom at least has some sense on the whole thing. see us off to the Design in Durban tomorrow.
Nice.
Which is very exciting in Cape Town. Yay. But it's all across the country. And if you're a creative, an outspoken street artist, or a dash of full color at Nedbank, they don't expect you to be an expert in banking too. Money is a gray area, especially for independent artists, right? Who doesn't know someone like that? There's incredible freedom in looking at money differently. The boundaries that come with a more traditional approach to it no longer exist, and they can't hold you back anymore. What am I talking about? Well, you can come and experience Nedbank's Reimagination Project, an initiative aimed at demonstrating how, when money is well managed, it can make a real difference in people's lives, even in yours. Right, Sia?
Yep.
Well, at Design in Durban, from the 1st until the 3rd of March 2017, they'll be talking to some of Nedbank's representatives and thought leaders on cliffcentral.com to share more about how you could explore the potential of money with Nedbank's Reimagination Project. Join us and let's reimagine. Live tomorrow from the Design in Durban in Cape Town, Sia Sangweni.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I'm sure you can't wait. Speaking of things that we can't wait for, it's time for news. So let's get to the latest with Mabali Moloi, who's got all the headlines for you that count, or at least some of them, and then we get to some more at 7 o'clock. But it's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria, and for 24 years, Colcacchio Pizzeria have been dedicated to bringing you the only, or only you, or you only.
Try again.
They've been dedicated to bringing you only the most delicious Italian-inspired meals. A lot has happened since 1992. They've grown to over 36 stores, and they've now opened up their first international store in Windhoek, Namibia. For more info, you can visit colcacchio.co.za, C-O-L-C-A-C-C-H-I-O. Colcacchio Pizzeria. They're the reason you crave pizza. Do you want to find out what's in the latest news?
Yes.
Lucky you. Here she is, our own Mabali Moloi with the latest. Take it away, Mubs.
Okay, so the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, also known as... Yeah. Why are you laughing?
Because I know what the story is.
Oh, what a mess. What a mess, what a mess. So PRASA had a lot of cleaning up to do over the last few days, had a lot of clarifying to do. It all began about a month after the acting CEO, Collins Letswalo, arrived. Because, you know, like him on Dana out, then they needed an acting CEO, so Collins Letswalo in. It all began when, after a month of his arrival, he demanded the same 5.9 million rand package that his former boss, Lucky Montana, was receiving.
5.9. Hold on a second. Lucky Montana badly mismanaged PRASA, and he was getting 5.9 a year?
He was getting 5.9 million rand as the CEO of PRASA.
Just Praveen, I need a calculator. Praveen told us the other day that the top income bracket in South Africa is anyone who makes 1.2.
1.5.
Is it 1.5?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think it matters to Lucky Montana and this Collins dude? So how much are they getting paid compared to that? Like 4 odd million more.
Yes.
A year. 4 million more a year than the top income bracket in South Africa. Do you see how many rich people there are? And some of them work in government jobs, in bureaucracy jobs, in parastatals. Do me a favor. Who needs 5.9 million for managing a business that isn't even being managed well? I mean, if you were fixing it.
So then is that why people get upset when they find out why certain people are earning as much as they do? Is it because it's a bureaucracy job? Because, you know, we're not upset when the CEO of, I don't know,
ShopRite
or Pick and Pay.
Yeah, Whitey Basson. Because he's driving profits. He's running a profitable business. PRASA ordered trains worth billions that don't fit the tracks. That's a new level of incompetence. We're not talking about someone who, like, oh, you know, the books didn't balance by about 53 rand or even 53,000 rand. We're talking billions that were wasted because the tracks and the train don't fit into each other.
Yeah. But Gareth, it was once famously said that people don't get into politics to be poor. I mean, it was once famously said. I can't for the life of me think who said it right now, but I digress.
You, they named the stadium after him in Polokwane.
Mbombela?
Peter Mokaba. It was him. It could have been Smuts Ngonyama, but I think it was Peter Mokaba who said it.
All right. Okay. So, Collins Letswalo comes in, demands the same 5.9 million rand, which, I mean, I don't know, like, you know, if I go to a job interview and I'll be like, yeah, I demand what my predecessor wanted. Like, most of us would think,
sure,
yeah, I go in for a job interview.
You say to them, okay, but
I want the same amount or more.
Are you going to fix things? And they go, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah. So he goes in, he makes the same demand, right?
Yeah.
Then the Sunday Times comes out with a whole new revelation over the weekend about how Collins Letswalo gave himself an increase of about 350%, which, you know, Letswalo denied, and he said, oh, well, this is...
Is this over and above the 5.9?
You see, this is where it gets a little bit confusing for me. And seemingly, it also got confusing for Collins Letswalo, because board spokesperson Nana Zenani, she then said, no, 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 no. There had been a huge misunderstanding regarding a confirmation letter which was sent to Letswalo, which was dated back to October 2016. Yes. In the letter, the board outlined what the annual remuneration package for a group CEO at the time was. That amount was the 5.9 million rand. Hmm. However, Zenani said that this amount was meant to serve as an indication to Letswalo of what the company offered a person in that position based on the amount of work and expenses he or she would incur.
I want to work for PRASA.
I want to work for PRASA too.
Do you know how much that is? Let's just look at 5.9 million rand a year and let's just work it out by the month. I need my calculator.
491,000 rand a month.
Is it 491,000 rand a month?
Yes, I could do that.
I mean, that's a shit ton of money. Yeah. Even if you take off the tax, let's take 491,000 rand a month. Okay, you minus, call it 45, because, you know, now we know Praveen's put it up. So let's just minus the 45%. So you still get 270,000 after tax in cold, hard cash straight into your bank account that nobody's going to question because you've paid your tax. 200, almost 300 grand.
And what's really being done for that?
Nothing. Nothing. The guy's doing nothing. What has he done? He hasn't even... All he's done is not order trains that don't fit the tracks.
See, now it'd be interesting to know that, okay, 45 goes to Praveen, but how much goes to the people who allowed you to get this job? Because I'm sure there's some backslapping system. There must be.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they're getting even more.
Because you can only murder so many people in life, right? To get to a certain point. From there, you need to be in allegiance with other people.
Yeah, you need to basically be thick as thieves.
So to get to that position, which sounds sweet, you have to, okay, let's just say you murdered two people, okay? Just two.
What the fuck are you saying?
But any CEO position generally is a sweet position to be in. I mean, if you're a CEO, you're cashing in millions. That's just the way
it
is.
Yeah. No, because I know lots of people who are running their own businesses that they haven't made.
All right,
They haven't made a cent for the first 5 years of their business. They're in debt.
Okay, fine.
But their LinkedIn profile looks amazing.
I mean, if we're talking corporate and we're talking government.
Yeah.
CEO positions are sweet. They are.
Well, maybe not, Mubs. I mean, in this case, 5.9. I'm just imagining if you take 270,000 home after tax. Yeah. You could pay off a lot of things with that and you still have cash left over. That's a lot of money. A month. Are you kidding me? Yes. Yeah. You could buy anything you want. And this is just a guy who's managing the Passenger Rail Association. He's not even managing cargo. He's not Transnet. He's just managing passenger rail, which in this country is such a disaster anyway.
Oh, there was a horrible train accident in Pretoria last week where like over 100 people were injured.
So
two trains collided because there was a mix-up.
You see, now
they ended up colliding into each other.
That costs people lives. How can this guy be? I don't know. Look, it drives me crazy that anyone should be. There shouldn't be a salary within any parastatal or government department that pays that. If you're in private business, fine. If you're a genius like Whitey Basson who's figured out how to make ShopRite checkers hundreds of times more profitable than it was when you took it over, fine. Take some of the cash that the whole business has made because you've shown that it's profit. But in a parastatal, you should be managing that for the people. There's got to be a ceiling to what you're allowed to earn.
So on Monday, the acting CEO was adamant that the salary he is receiving from PRASA is above board and that it was approved by the company. But the rail agency dismissed his claim, so they fired him. The PRASA board says that no, rules and regulations were not followed by Collins Letswalo, and this resulted in his immediate dismissal.
All right, bye-bye.
You know what I think? I think if the papers hadn't blown the story, Collins Letswalo would still be in his position.
Sure.
Definitely. I mean, that's just my personal feeling.
I totally agree.
Of course.
He would still be there. He would be getting the 5.9 million. And, you know, the board wouldn't suddenly be acting all holier than thou.
Yeah. So well done, the media.
Yeah. Fake news. Sorry. I mean, if
they're trying so hard, my buddy. Why did you have to say that?
I'm sorry. I'm just going by what Donald Trump always says. You have to be wary of fake news. Fake news. Always be on the lookout for fake news.
All right.
By the way, Collins Letswalo says that he is seeking legal advice because, you know, he's not going to.
Yeah, right here, man. Shit, I'm saying.
He maintains that the papers have discredited him by reporting false information, so he says that he will be seeking legal advice.
Even if you didn't ask for an increase, the 5.9 is reason for, in my book, for you to be fired.
But also, you got that much money, you seek legal advice on anything.
Yeah, sure, of course, because you can afford it. The rest of us can't afford legal advice.
Oh, boy. No, absolutely
not. All right,
what else? Okay, Higher Education Minister Bladen Zimande.
Uh-oh.
Yesterday, he described newly elected Chancellor of UNISA, that would be the former President Thabo Mbeki, as one of the greatest intellectuals Africa and the Liberation Movement have produced.
Oh, really? That's rich coming from you, Blade. I recall that in Polokwane, just a few years ago, you were very solidly behind a different candidate. And you couldn't wait to get rid of Thabo Mbeki and see the back of him. What a duplicitous, predictably political thing to say now that it's not convenient for you to support Zuma anymore because you've been sidelined, you troll.
Okay, Gareth. All right. Nzimande did say that he wanted to acknowledge whatever differences that the two of them had in the past.
Yeah.
Okay. He went on to express his adoration for the former president. He referred to him by his clan name, Zizi.
Oh.
He recollected some of their shared memories since their first meeting in Sweden back in 1986.
Stop sucking dick, Bladen Zimande.
Thabo Mbeki was inaugurated as chancellor at UNISA yesterday. He takes over from Judge Bernard Ngwepe, who stepped down back in December after 15 years of service to the institution. Judge Ngwepe, by the way, is our brand new tax ombudsman.
That's good news.
He's moved on to other things.
Well, I did listen to Thabo Mbeki's speech yesterday, and I've got to say that he's very much more deft with words than a lot of our current crop of leaders. There are just so few people that we can look to in the ANC who have any ability to string a sentence together that makes sense, let alone is poetic and beautiful. And to see Thabo Mbeki back at the lectern delivering one of his orations, intellectual and cold as some of them may have been in the past, gave me such joy. This man... Yo.
You know, clichés are really true because you never know what you have until it's gone.
Yeah.
No, we're like, nah, that I'm an African thing. Ugh. Yeah, Thabo,
please.
Goodbye.
What we wouldn't do for one beautiful sentence out of that criminal at the top of the current crop. Do me a favor.
The former president did say that the student movement and society must turn their backs on protests which result in damage to property.
Yes.
This, of course, you know, relates to the student protests that we've seen since 2015 now, is it 2016?
Such a small thing, but such a big deal.
And he outlined his vision in line with the university's vision, this is now UNISA, to become the African university shaping futures in the service of humanity. So, yes, congratulations to the new... Is it Chancellor?
Chancellor,
Vice?
Yeah.
Yes.
Chancellor.
You knew!
Yes.
If only we all did. All right, let's get to some sport with Ben. Ben, what do you have for us this morning?
Here, Ben, with the sport.
Well, Alistair Cassier has officially stole the Springbok coach.
Oh. He's also an example of someone who's really done a great job there.
Yeah.
And gets paid a lot of money to sit around.
Exactly. And very little comes from it. So 4 wins out of 12. That's his record, how it stands right now. The French are coming for a 3-test series in June, and that will be his next sort of hurdle. Now, of course, those morons at Sorry didn't give him a performance clause, right?
Yeah.
So basically, he was just, I don't know, he wasn't doing well. The mitigating factors, obviously, but he didn't do well as a coach.
Yes.
But they couldn't fire him because they wouldn't have the money to pay him out. So he's still there. But what they've done now is they've brought in Franco Smith as a full-time confirmed assistant coach.
Yes.
Bondi Lester, who should never have been in there, but they really needed to get a black guy, and they desperately needed to get a black guy. And so Fikile and all the boys were like, okay, this is our assistant coach. The guy's never coached at this level, never come close. He was an assistant pit bot coach of the Kings, who obviously are very crap at rugby.
Right.
And obviously we all know that, you know, people need opportunity in life. We need young blood in coaching, referees, everything in rugby. We need young blood. And if it's ex-player, they're great. But you can't become the assistant coach of the Springboks. I mean, New Zealand were laughing at us for months. Just months and months. They're probably still laughing at us.
Well, this is where politics and sport kind of don't really have a common ground.
So Stick will now go to the, I think it's the SAA team.
How embarrassing.
So he's been redeployed to go get more experience elsewhere. And if he comes back and is one day the Bok backline coach, fantastic, but he's got to have some sort of understanding of what's going on.
But in the meantime, he's lost a lot of cred and a lot of ground, because this is what happens when you promote people outside their level of competence.
You're not doing them any favors.
No, you hurt them in the long term.
Yeah.
Try to fast track them, they're not good.
So he'll always be known as that guy. So he's going to go languish somewhere else. He might have become the Sevens assistant coach, but he said he wants to stay in 15-man rugby.
Shame.
Yeah, so that's that. Devin De Allender, see, like, the Stormers played so well over the weekend, right? De Allender had a good game, they won, hopes are high. And what happens if you're a Stormers fan? Well, you turn the news on and one of your star players will be out for months. So, Devin De Allender's out for 12 weeks. Ankle injury. And that's what being a Stormers fan is. It's about seeing star players' knees and ankles buckle. He'll be out for 12 weeks. Luke Diago will miss the next match because he is concussed. And Cobus Reinach has signed for the Northampton Saints. Apparently, he turned down a Springbok central contract because he wanted to go play overseas. But he still believes he can play for the Springboks because, well, the Springboks need the overseas professionals. Simple as that. The Las Vegas Sevens takes place tonight. So Neil Powell and his team, they are in Las Vegas right now. It's a real, difficult travel. So,
right.
And then awards, some sort of rugby function, I forget which it was. I was chatting to Brian Abana last year. He went to Las Vegas Sevens with the Blitzbox. It took him 2 days to travel there. Because these guys don't fly business class and direct and have all the cushy stuff that the Springboks have. These guys fly pretty basic, right? So they go, like, to London, to New York, somewhere else, and they end up in, like, Vegas 2 days later. So this time was slightly better. They went from here to London to Vegas direct.
Yeah.
So the Sevens campaign definitely kicks back up now. We've got the Las Vegas Sevens, then the Canada one, and then there's Hong Kong. So really, really big time. And the Blitzboks are doing so well, but this is where they got to kick on. They've never won the Hong Kong Sevens. They've been pretty handy in Vegas before, but after such a great start where they blew everyone away, 3 wins out of 4, they've got to really kick on here. In football last night, Leicester beat Liverpool 3-1. So Leicester, after getting rid of Claudio Ranieri, the greatest manager in their history, obviously everyone got shaken up by all this. The players thought, well, hang on a second, this isn't very good. We've got rid of one of the best people in our lives, basically.
What, you think that's funny, or you're responding, just look at Sia. What, are you suddenly interested in sport and you thought that was hilarious? What's going on? Huh? Why did you snort?
I just saw a tweet. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. People want to know, Sia. You can't interrupt Ben's sport with snorting and expect us to just gloss over it. And he said to me yesterday he doesn't know anything about sport, clearly.
No, he doesn't. No, that's why he's looking at whatever else you're looking at.
I'm sorry, Benjamin. I'm sorry.
Carry on. Sorry, Ben. Yeah. I'm listening.
Right, so Liverpool went to Leicester thinking there was easy points there because this is a managerless team. They're going through the doldrums. They're just above relegation. But then these guys really pulled finger. Vardy scored 2 goals. Drinkwater scored an absolute thriller. And they looked like Leicester of last season. They were really, really good. So obviously, you know, people are saying, well, it's the new era. But look, this team wasn't completely crap. They were just, I don't know, they became complacent. Whatever it was, Claudio Ranieri had to go as a result. But last night they turned it on. And Claudio Ranieri, just to show what an incredible guy he is, he was given £3 million as a sort of payout, right, for being axed by Leicester.
Again, unbelievable amounts of money for people who don't really deserve it. He's being given money to be axed.
Yeah, well, it's the contract thing.
But it's crazy, Ben. Whoever came up with this idea that you should be paid out when you're fired they're insane.
It is. It's completely crazy. But
you should go into the sunset when you've been overpaid for a job in the first place, and they then fire you for being bad at it. They shouldn't also have to pay you to go.
Well, I wouldn't say he's been overpaid. I mean, he took a bunch of players who are having fish and chips every day to in a Premier League title holders.
Ben, you're coaching a sports team. Listen, I'm not going to argue with you. You know more about sport than I do. But it is a stupid job. You should not be paid that kind of money for entertainment purposes. Full stop.
Yeah, but you got to look at the other side of the equation. Look how much money comes in for this so-called stupid job. I mean, this guy's bringing in millions and millions. There's TV rights, there's broadcasting rights, image rights, there's stadium attendance.
All right.
There's all kinds of things. So Ranieri got £3 million, whether you like it or not. But you know what he did with half of it?
What?
He donated it to the actual Leicester Football Club's foundation charity.
No, okay. Because he's feeling guilty about taking all that money off of them, I'm telling you.
All right. Yeah, but you won't see a story like that. That's quite something.
No, that's quite good.
Right, so there wasn't a whole bunch of other sports to get into. Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, you know, that fight that's just been talked about just to kind of, you know, further both these guys' careers and keep the spotlight on them. Mm-hmm. Well, Floyd Mayweather, because right now, Manny Pacquiao is still fighting, okay? He's just signed another big deal. One of the Klitschko brothers is coming back. There's a lot of fights in the mix right now. So Mayweather, obviously, because he's bored as all hell, because, you know, these guys retire, what else have they got in their lives? They've dedicated everything to being sports stars, right?
Yeah.
It's not like he's got pottery to fall back on, or he's got a taste for exotic travel. He's got a taste for just being a dick and hanging out with Bieber and popping bottles and counting money and all those other peasant things that people do when they get money out of the blue.
Yeah.
So he's got nothing else in life. So he needs the spotlight. So now all of a sudden he's talking McGregor up and saying, you know, this guy's never actually lost in a stand-up battle. Talking about the fact that his only loss in UFC was, you know, in grappling and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
He's talking about the fact that he's a real champion, and he's saying that, you know, Conor McGregor must now go and talk to his UFC boss, you know, work out this contract, let's make it happen, this is going to be the biggest fight, this guy's a real champion, it would be an honor to fight against him, blah, blah, blah. And also, Mayweather's got a promotion business, right? So he promotes fights. So if this thing happens, Showtime are going to be all over this, okay? So he knows he's got money coming in there. Mm-hmm. He knows he can promote the match and make money out of it. Plus, he's just must be so bored. So bored.
Well, what's he doing? He's got nothing to do until he has this fight.
Yeah. So it looks like this fight actually might happen.
All right.
But the big thing, as I said a couple of weeks ago, it comes back to Conor McGregor's UFC contract. If they say you can't fight elsewhere, you can't fight elsewhere. So there's going to be some palms need to be greased here, I think. But the fight may go ahead, because if you've got lots of money, you can make anything happen.
All right.
Oscar Pistorius. Tijuana Open will take place this week, and the weather looks a bit better than last week, thankfully, is the second sort of European co-sanctioned event in 2 weeks here in South Africa. And the WGC, which is a huge golfing event, will be taking place in Mexico. And this is the event that used to take place at Trump Doral.
Okay? Oh, they moved it.
This was the event that got taken away from Trump's golf course
and
he gave it to
the Mexicans. That's going to piss him off.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
All right.
Gareth, that's all about all we've got time to talk for about today.
Okay, thank you. Your English is improving.
Use words you'll understand. But tonight, Sundowns versus Chipper. 7:30 PSL action.
There we go.
Another chance for Sundowns to get more points and go towards the top of the table.
Time for Anthea. That's right. Here she is, Anthea Gardner. Good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
You go ahead. It's your time.
I was going to say, the All-Share Index was down about a fifth of a percent yesterday. It was a bit of a non-event from a trading perspective, though. Only 40% less volume than normal traded, so only $1 billion traded. Hmm. And of that, 30% of that volume went through in the 10-minute closing auction at the end of the day. Have I explained this auction story to you?
Tell me again, because I'm an idiot.
Okay. So during normal market trading, if you are buying and selling, so say you want to buy a share and you put a bid on the screen for, let's say, 100 Rand, somebody else wants to sell the same share, they could go and put an offer on the screen for 101 Rand, and then the bid and offer will just sit there. However, if somebody decides they'll put the offer on at 100 where your bid, automatically it matches, the trade disappears off screen and it carries on. Okay. But during the last 10 minutes or the closing auction of the day, the bids and offers don't disappear off screen. And actually, at the end of those 10 minutes, you get the volume weighted average of the bids and offers that have uncrossed. So some, you could bid at 100, somebody could offer at 99, and it'll cross at, let's say, 99.50, for example.
Okay. And then it'll automatically come off as well.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So
I mean,
in other words, you get some bargain basement sales at the end of the day.
Or people could push the price up.
I see.
And in fact, they do it to minimize market manipulation. And it's an interesting one because we always watch very closely, especially around month end, because, you know, as asset managers, we tend to get marked month to month. So people always want end of month reporting. How did you do last month? And if shares are very liquid, then it's hard to do. I mean, Naspers, it would be impossible to do. But very illiquid shares, I think those are the ones we need to be careful of, because the bid-offer spread tends to be wide and not many shares trade. So you can push the share up quite significantly. Anyway, so a third of the volume went through in the last 10 minutes of yesterday's trading.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah, I'd say. And then the rand continues to trade strongly. It spent most of the day around 12.90 against the dollar. Although this morning it's quite a bit weaker, trading at 13 against the dollar, 13.76 against the euro, and 16.16 against the sterling. Hopefully this weaker rand will help our market higher today. Resources pretty much flat yesterday, bit of a reversal of the previous day's trading. Diversified miners outperformed golds, and then Kumba and Exxaro were up about 5%, Goldfields down 4%. Anglo American didn't quite manage to make back Friday's losses. It was up only 1%.
Yes.
And then financials and industrials took a bit of a beating, except Steinhoff, which was up 2.5%. They're putting out a trading statement this morning. I think there's a lot of anticipation around those numbers now that that ShopRite deal is off the table, and potentially the Sealy deal's not going through, lots of things going on there. And I think people anxious and a little bit excited about it, I would say.
All right.
And then two big companies reported yesterday, Bidvest and Sasol. Firstly, Bidvest, they reported interims. Revenue and headline earnings up 4.4%, trading profit up 3%. So not a particularly spectacular result. A couple of questions around their Namibian business. But I just want to point out their services business. So this is anything to do with facilitation, property management, cleaning, Execuflora's in there, even art rental if you so wish. That division makes a ROFE, we call it, return on equity, return on funded fund. Oh, my goodness, I'm struggling.
Are you struggling too?
Return on funds employed. They made a ROFE of 77%. So let me explain this. If you're running a company that produces widgets, let's say A and B, What you want is to sell more of the widgets that are producing a higher margin. So in other words, for how much money and time you're going to put into producing whichever widget you want, obviously want to make the higher margin. And I would say, I mean, a 77% return on funds employed is a phenomenal number. It's just kind of exceptional, really. Mm-hmm. And based on that, I would comfortably say that Bidvest is now on the acquisition trail, and they're looking to expand in the Northern Hemisphere and probably looking for a services business where they can replicate what they've done here in South Africa. The share was down 2% yesterday. I think a lot of analysts I spoke to saying it looks a bit expensive. They're not expecting Bidvest to shoot the lights out going forward. But I would say it's definitely not a company you want to short. You know, it's a company you'd rather hold. And maybe it'll come off a little bit in the short term. But in the long term, I think there's probably more upside than anything else.
Okay.
So not as great as Bidcorp we saw last week, but...
But a good reason to keep an eye on Bidvest. I mean, why the hell not? And if you're looking to buy a couple of shares, hey, listen, I saw something interesting. Tell me if this is true. And I'm sorry to sort of throw it at you off guard if that's the case, but I saw Warren Buffett has upped his stake in Apple ahead of the new iPhone launch.
Yes, he's been doing that since last year, actually.
What's going on there? Should we all be following the greatest investor of all time?
The Oracle of Omaha.
Yeah.
Sure. It's a difficult one. Warren Buffett doesn't always get it right. And also, sure, he really is a long-term investor. So if he thinks there's value in the company, it doesn't necessarily mean that the share is going to suddenly spike and shoot the lights out. I mean, he's doing this for long-term play. I almost think he's a bit late to the party in this case.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
It is hard to bet against Warren Buffett. That is true.
Look, I thought that it was an interesting observation. I mean, people watch him like a hawk, and to up his stake by that much, just ahead of one product being launched, he must think that the new iPhone is going to solve all the world's problems, to be putting so much money into Apple. Or does he just know that it's a safe bet?
I think he just knows it's a safe bet.
Okay.
I think that's what it is, more than anything else. And
right,
and don't forget, Apple has all the metrics that Warren Buffett likes: free cash flow, huge cash pile, futuristic company. Well, now he likes futuristic companies. Before, he tended to bet on kind of very traditional companies like railways and Coca-Cola and candy stores. So I think that's what it is. They just tick the right boxes for him.
All right, let's get back to our markets for a second. We spoke about Bidvest, but tell me about Sasol. They reported.
Yeah, not such a great story. Yeah? Earnings down 38%. They made a point of saying that they remain profitable with an oil price between $40 and $50 a barrel. Now, Sasol's a very complicated company, lots of moving parts. So just touching on the key aspects of their balance sheet, they revised their gearing, which is now expected to be between 30 and 35%, whereas previously they'd said between 25 and 35%. And then secondly, their full year CapEx is going to be down from 75 billion rand to 66 billion rand. And one of the things I do not like, besides when a company does not pay dividend, is when they don't invest in the future. And that's what they're saying. Capital expenditure is going to be down. I mean, it doesn't bode well for the future, but the flip side of that, the good news, is that their Lake Charles chemical project in the U.S., which was previously a worry because it had been delayed, it had gone over budget, it's now 64% complete, and it's within its $11 billion budget. So if that comes online, that should be good for the company. They did declare a dividend, so I guess we're still okay from that point of view.
Okay.
And then just in the telecom sector, MTN put out a trading statement yesterday. They are expecting a headline loss per share of between 81 and 74 cents per share. Not great. Really not good. I'm just going to wait for the results before I go more in depth into that share, and we'll see
MTN's investors can't be thrilled at this point. Their shareholders must be very unhappy.
I would say yes. And you know, the anticipation of this new CEO coming on board, like how much can he really do when the share is making such a big loss?
Right. Okay.
And then Blue Label and Cell C finally announced that they are going to go ahead with their deal. I mean, talk about 11th hour announcements, because the deadline is actually today.
Now, I thought this was already a done deal.
No, there were a couple of things that they had to go through before they were sealing the deal. I mean, they had announced it and everything was fine, but you know how it is. There are always boxes to tick. And one of the issues was that Blue Label couldn't take advantage of Cell C's spectrum.
Yes.
But apparently they're okay with it. So.
Will this affect the share price positively?
So Cell C is not listed, but Blue Telecom was up, I think, yesterday about 2% the last time I checked.
Okay.
Will it make any more difference to Cell to Blue? It's a really difficult one to say. There are a lot of analysts. It's not a well-covered share, first of all, from an analyst point of view. But there are a couple of analysts saying that Blue Telecom should be a 25 Rand share. It's currently trading at about 18 Rand. But I think their difficulties, don't forget, Cell C got downgraded a couple of weeks ago. They've got huge debt. They missed one of their debt payments.
Mm.
I'm not completely convinced. No. So I'm not lying. I'm not buying Blue Label. I did at one stage, and then sold out, but I'm not buying anymore.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll have a positive last day of the month today.
That's good enough for me. Thanks, Anthea. We'll check in with you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Very good. Anthea Gardner, a look at the markets this morning. I hope your day is going very nicely. If it isn't yet, then hopefully it'll get better from here on in. There's quite a lot happening for a Tuesday morning. We'll check out a little bit more news with Mubs a little bit later on. You ready for that, Mubs? You're happy about that?
Yep.
You're all ready for us?
I am ready.
We have very high expectations when it comes to your news.
That's fine. I can deliver.
I have no doubt. Okay. Ben, you look like you've got a very perplexed look on your face. Is there something you want to tell us?
Not at all, Gareth. I'm just writing blurbs and things like that.
Okay, getting ready for the podcast.
Just I'm getting my facts straight, spelling right.
While we're busy telling you what we're all up to, at 8 o'clock or just before this morning, a chat that I had last week with Gad Saad from the University of Montreal. This guy is really, really interesting. He's got some points of view that will make certain people's heads explode. He talks no nonsense whatsoever and has an interesting life story too, which I think will grab a lot of people. But he's originally from Lebanon. He was born a Jewish Lebanese young man in Beirut. He and his family made it out. He's been living in Canada most of his life. And he has a fascinating perspective on what's going on campuses all over Canada and the United States, on whether or not gender is a social construct. And I think you could guess what his position in that might be because he's a scientist. And some other points of view about the left, which will make some people very uncomfortable. And you know what? That's the point of good conversation. It's the point of smart people. If they don't make you a little uncomfortable, then they're not saying anything smart. We'll come back with some news in a second. Here's a little live David Bowie. Haven't heard from him in a while. Well, it's because he's dead. Yeah. I mean, we haven't played for a while. Know what time it was and the lights were low. I lean back
on my radio. Cliffcentral.com.